with Thomas Nicholas. And the idea of this project is twofold. So it's first of all to ask what one would require for stable homotopy theory of stacks. It's also known these days as global stable homotopy theory, and do some calculations mostly in elliptic cohomology. So in other words, well, the basic idea, which I'm sure everyone here knows, is that many cohomology theories and let's take like topological K-theory, for example. So they yield interesting results. Let's say answers on stacks. I mean, this is a classical thing. I mean, for example, the Atiyah-Siegel completion theorem. As everyone surely knows, there's actually a map from the topological space BG to the stack BG. So this is what I'm referring to as the stack associated to this groupoid. I'll distinguish the B's with a bold. There's a map because, of course, this has a canonical principal G bundle on it. So this induces the completion map from, say, I'll just talk, I mean, the same thing holds in real K theory. So this is the representation ring of G, which I'm going to generally assume is a compact Lie group, to the K-theory of the space, which is not the representation ring, but its completion at the augmentation ideal. So in some sense, this is a much more fundamental object than this, which is why this is why we need cohomology theories to actually take interesting values. Values on stacks. Okay, now the stacks will generally be Artin stacks, but we don't need that yet. So let me.
Sorry, I'm totally not knowledgeable about this. Isn't that map from BG to the other BG, is it a homotopy equivalence or not?
It's not a homotopy equivalence.
And what solves it? For me, in my mind, it's very sort of the naive point of view, but I thought the two things were exactly the same.
It's no.
I mean that they're not, but I thought at least maybe there would be homotopy.
So this is a space, so as just a stupid topological one stack, it's going to associate to another space, simply the space of continuous, well, the set even of continuous maps from that space to BG.
Yes.
Homotopy classes of which we know are correspond to isomorphism classes of principal G bundles, but it's not even taking homotopy classes. And this is going to associate to a space T, the actual groupoid of principal G bundles on T.
I see. And you're saying that those two sets or topological sets are homotopy equivalent, but they are
those two groupoids, one of which is discrete, are not homotopy equivalent. But I will explain what actually the relevant notion of homotopy is here briefly. This was just a bit of motivation. So this begs the question exactly, for one thing, it's going to be a cohomology theory on stacks that should satisfy some kind of homotopy invariance. So we should know what homotopy invariance we're talking about. And then secondly, there's an issue of stabilizing, which is if we have a category, then homology or cohomology theories should be represented by some sorts of stable objects. So it sort of asks you to fill in the following diagram. So if this is just the category of ordinary topological spaces, nothing fancy, the one category, then the infinity category that we call the homotopy theory of spaces, we take the nerve of top, so we view the one category as an infinity category, and we invert the weak homotopy equivalences. Okay, and there's a map from this one category to this infinity category. And this is also known as spaces or infinity groupoids. Take your pick. I will not use this notation, though. And this maps to its stabilization, which is ordinary spectra. Now, there's a map here to what I'll call stacks, which is really sheaves of groupoids, just one groupoids on top, or maybe some topological spaces which are paracompact and sort of kappa small for some kappa. But I'm just going to write that as top.
Those are one groupoids.
Yes, these are one groupoids. We could talk more generally about higher groupoids, but I just want to do one groupoids here. And although it's not necessary at this point, typically I'm going to think of the groupoids as being smooth, or the stacks as being smooth, but that doesn't come up yet. So what goes here, this is what people refer to nowadays as global unstable homotopy theory. But it's really just the weak, it should be referred to as the weak homotopy theory of stacks. But just to tie it into some other literature, so or, these will be the same. But what is it? And we should have an inclusion from space, the homotopy theory of spaces, into there. And then we should have some sort of stabilization. Let me just put a question mark here. Then we should have some sort of stabilization of question mark, which acts as the stable objects here. And there should be a map like that.
I was expecting you could creep stacks as topological spaces by replacing the stack by classifying the stack.
Yes, but that's not a rich enough homotopy theory. For example, that will not see the difference in this map here. So it's essential that you don't do that.
So a point mod G is really not the same thing as the classifying space.
Right.
G.
Yes. And just to give an idea of why this is also an issue is because in between all of these categories, we have the categories of G spaces, which should embed into stacks. We have their homotopy theory of G spaces, and we have G spectra as the stabilization. But this is not equal to what is the what I'll call the naive stabilization. In other words, this is not equal to spectrum objects in G spaces. You have to do more work to form that thing. Okay, so in order to say what goes in these parts of the diagram, let me just point out why this first thing here is a good construction. I mean, everyone knows why. It's essentially just the history of why algebraic topology started focusing on CW complexes. So what's so good about infinity groupoid.
Well, there's two things that I want to point out. So one, a map f from x to y is an equivalence if the map pi n f x, if this is ISO, right, for all n and points in x, which means that this is roughly an algebraic notion. And when we pass to spectra, it becomes even more algebraic, because of course, when n equals zero, these are just sets, which are fairly difficult to deal with, and n equals one.
Right, exactly, that's the definition. Is that how you define the morphisms W are inverting, or is there more than that?
That's the definition of a weak equivalence. That's exactly this class.
So far, that's just perfect.
Yeah, there's nothing, but the remark is that we can detect equivalences by essentially algebraic invariance. We don't actually have to come up with a homotopy inverse. So that makes the problem immediately much more tractable. The second is that any x now is going to be the inverse limit of its Posnikov tower, and the slices of which are, you know, the Eilenberg-MacLane spaces. All right, A, because here A is some discrete group. Okay, as long as n is not equal to zero, and this leads to all kinds of spectral sequences that we can use to compute things. Okay, so it's essentially the roughly algebraic and, you know, computational control that we have over this category that makes it so good. So we want to do a similar thing here. So, but let me present first an alternative construction of this category that goes through. If I look at the category of top, I could form a different infinity category than this one in the following way. So this thing will have the objects the same as just ordinary topological spaces, but it'll be an infinity category using the fact that top is enriched over itself, that this has the compact open topology, but I don't want to associate, because it's an infinity category, I don't care about the strong homotopy type of this. I only care about the weak homotopy type of that mapping space. So what I'll really define this as is the geometric realization of n goes to hom delta n cross x to y. The singular complex of the mapping space here. Okay, and that makes this into an infinity category. But this infinity category is huge. For example, the equivalences are not these maps. Okay, rather you can find inside of it this category S as the full subcategory generated under colimits by the point. So it's, in fancy language, it's the cellularization of the point inside this very large and difficult infinity category. I mean, this does not simplify this, really. Okay, so I want to present a similar construction. So stacks is also naturally a terrible infinity category, but which I'll just write like this, stack infinity in a very similar way. So if I have two objects here, I can define the space of maps from x to y to be also the realization of n goes to Hom delta n cross x, y. Note, though, that in this case, this is a groupoid. But that doesn't matter. I can still geometrically realize it. So this is too big. We can't say anything about this, but we can cellularize it at a certain subcategory, any small subcategory, really, that we want, although it's more useful if those objects don't have any relations between them. But I'm going to pick the subcategory, which I'll call orb. And this is full on the orbit stacks. BG, yeah.
The homotopy category of top infinity is still something bad?
Or? Yeah, I mean, there's this bizarre model structure on topological spaces called the Strom model structure. And that's, they have the same infinity category. In other words, the equivalences are the actual homotopy equivalences. So it's, you know, not really amenable to algebraic means. That's why it's bad. I'm defining it so that it's fully faithful.
Which adjoints
does it have? It has no adjoints. This is small. And I'm going to fix, this is not necessary, but it will be at some point when the stable theory comes in, G compact Lie group. Okay, so you can easily just check here that the mapping space from two orbits is homotopy equivalent to smooth homomorphisms between the compact Lie groups with the taking the homotopy quotient by the conjugation action of G on that. So in other words, pi zero of map here, BH BG, is just conjugacy classes of smooth homomorphisms from H to G.
Are you treating G as a topological group?
I am.
Happen to be
smooth. Right. No. Morphisms, I'm saying it's homotopy equivalent. It's just a theorem that smooth maps are dense inside of it's continuous maps. This is just to make this slightly better behaved. In
is a home just smooth map or smooth?
Smooth homomorphisms.
Smooth group
morphisms.
Yeah. I guess that a morphism topological group would be smooth.
You can consider non-smooth homomorphisms. It's just that up to homotopy, the two spaces agree with each other. So.
the homomorphisms don't have to respect the group structure.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I can't imagine a topological morphism between compact Lie groups, which is not also smooth.
Oh, well, okay, then for even more trivial reasons than I'm saying, they should be the same. and then you can check also that this gives a functor from this terrible infinity category of stacks to pre-sheaves of spaces on the orbit category, just sending x to maps from BG to x, where this ranges over all of its orbits. And in this category, of course, this has a fully faithful left adjoint. So this is a right adjoint. This is a left adjoint. And this left adjoint is looking at those stacks that are somehow cellularly built via homotopy colimits out of orbits, which accounts for up to this notion of homotopy, any any sufficiently nice like stack represented by a smooth Lie groupoid or something. Yeah.
Is STK, is that a one category?
No, that's an, oh, that's a two category.
Two category.
Yeah.
And do you repeat what warp is?
Well, this one's an infinity category, and now this is full just on the orbit stacks, the ones that are...
Okay. Orb for orbit.
Yeah. Okay, so then... so these have the... This has all the same advantages of this in category of infinity groupoids. So let me just write it here, a map between stacks f from x to y is a weak equivalence if, well, it's detected by these groups pi n g x to pi n g y f of x is iso for all and what's x here? X is a point, but it's a g-valued point, so x will go from bg into x, like that. And a further redeeming feature of this category is that you can note that if I slice this over a given orbit bg, and I restrict to the representable ones, so let me just say that BH, you can check easily if it's representable. If this map, which corresponds to a conjugacy class of maps from H to G, is injective. This is equivalent to the usual orbit category of the compact Lie group G as an infinity category. So the infinity category of G spaces is equivalent to Precheve's on the orbit category for the group, right? Which is now equivalent to Precheve's on the slice of orb over BG just consisting of the representables, but that of course maps to the whole, Precheve's on the whole thing in a variety of ways. There's a bunch of adjoints here. And this is just equivalent to the slice over BG. So here we have something like, here again we have G spaces, and here we have a thickening of G spaces, which allows, non-representable type cells of the form BH for H not a closed subgroup of G, but this is still just the slice over BG. Just to give you some flavor of how this works, there's I think four adjoints here, if you count all of them. Okay, so it's highly compatible with the ordinary homotopy theory of G spaces. Okay, and I guess I should advertise this as a theorem of myself and Andre Henriquez. We wrote a paper on this from 2008 or so called The Homotopy Theory of Orbispaces. His name, I wanted to call them stacks, but this category of Precheve's on orb is equivalent to Stefan Schweda's unstable global homotopy theory, but should be thought of as some sort of homotopy theory of stacks, weak homotopy theory of stacks. And now, okay, so now this brings me to the next question, which is, how do you stabilize this? What does it mean to be a cohomology theory? Okay, and for this I'm going to present a much more general construction. Because it doesn't so much use the specifics of this particular homotopy theory. So I'm going to let, well, C will be, I'm going to assume compactly generated, but that's not strictly necessary. Locally Cartesian closed infinity category. So you can think, for example, an infinity topos. That will be the main motivating example. This is an infinity topos because it's presheaves on an infinity category. And let's just say that there's a canonical class of sphere bundles in C. So a map F from Y to X in C is a sphere bundle. If, well, for all objects, test objects T, this mapping space is a sphere bundle. And that means that it's classified by a map to disjoint union over N of B ought SN. If you take the universal SN bundle over this, then it pulls back. So in other words, all the homotopy fibers of this map are spheres. So typically that's all the sphere bundles that we'll want to consider, but I just want to say equip C with a class F inside of, this will be a full subcategory of its arrow category. This is consisting of some class of things called spherical fibrations. But it including the sphere bundles. Usually, I won't need to add anything more to this, but let me just give you an example. If you were working in motivic homotopy theory, the simplicial spheres would already be sphere bundles, but the GM sphere would not, and you would need to add that in as a spherical fibration. But in all this equivariant context, you don't need to add in anything more. And then this will tell you essentially, you want to invert these sphere bundles, but you only want to do it locally in the base because, for example, representation spheres are not, don't exist globally. They don't exist over the point. They exist, if it's a G representation, it exists only over BG. So you can't just globally invert stuff, but I'm going to give I'm going to construct now some sort of stabilization of C with respect to this class of spherical fibrations. But I'm not going to just do it by inverting a bunch of things. Will be constructed as follows. So the first thing is that you define a new infinity category, BC, and the objects are just maps like that in C. And the morphisms are the interesting part. If I want to specify a map from this object to this object, I give a span diagram like this, in which this square is a pullback, and in which this map is an equivalence. Okay, and the point is that this will give some sort of pullback functoriality on this side, which will act as a cohomology theory, even a twisted cohomology theory, because I can take non-identity maps here. If I took identities, it would just be acting contravariantly by under maps, but it's actually acting relatively by pulling back maps. And this side will be a homology theory over a fixed base. You'll be pushing forward things, but the base has to be fixed up to equivalence. It's a subcategory of the category of spans in the arrow category of C. And then, so because this will simultaneously encode a cohomology and a homology theory, I'm going to call it a bivariant theory. This will be defined to be functors from the opposite of this category into spectra. But this is not a very good notion. An example of this thing is when C is spaces, is A theory. That where you actually define A of a map Y to X to be the K theory of the spectra over Y, which are fiberwise compact over X. In other words, if I restrict it to any of the homotopy fibers of that map, then I get a compact spectrum. And this you can check, is functorial with respect to these spans, except that here, A of Y to the point will just be the usual A theory of Y. In other words, the K theory of S omega Y. Okay, that should have a base point, but whatever. And A theory of an identity map will be the upside down A theory of X. And then it interpolates between all those. But the point is that A theory doesn't actually act like a homology or a cohomology theory, because it's not at all excisive. So this is an example of a bivariant theory, but it's not an example of one that we would want to consider because it's impossible to calculate. So I want to introduce a class of excisive bivariant theories on C. And this is going to be a full subcategory. And this is just full on the functors F, such that, well, the condition is not hard. If I evaluate it on a map X over Y, but X is a colimit of things X alpha, well, that means I can write Y as a colimit of Y alphas, where the Y alpha is Y crossover X with X alpha. This has to be sent to the limit of F of Y alpha over X alpha. So it satisfies descent in the base. And
the point that you raised is, eventually we don't have Meyer-Torres synthesis.
Well, we don't even have suspension up here yet, except with, in the target, of course, it's stable, we do, but it's hard to, you can suspend objects here, but they're not going to, there's nothing forcing it to behave the functor to respect that suspension. That actually will come up in just a moment. And if I have y, which is a colimit, a filtered colimit, say, of xi, sorry, yi, and I want that to be over the same base because the homological direction requires that. This should be the colim of f of this. So this is the cohomological exactness condition, and this is the homological exactness condition. And there's, let me give you an example here. Twisted, cohomology. So here, in twisted cohomology, I can check that the excisive bivariant theories on spaces are equivalent to the ordinary category of spectra. And the map just sends a functor to its value on point mapping by the identity to point. And what's the inverse? If I have M in spectra, then it defines a theory on arrows by taking the X twisted cohomology of the suspension spectrum over X of Y. So in other words, the sections of the bundle of spectra sigma infinity plus over X of Y, then smashed, all the fibers smashed with the spectrum M. Okay, that's that equivalence. And now, let me get to some theorems. So first, I need to state one more definition. So we have this pair C, which you can think of as an infinity topos, and F, which is some class of what you're calling spherical vibrations. Then you can consider not just excisive, but F excisive. This is for if F needs to be enlarged from just the sphere bundles on C. And this is, again, a full subcategory, even of the excisive ones. And these are the ones, the theories, which satisfy a twisted Tom iso. It's necessarily twisted because I haven't assumed any ring structures or orientations on anything. But namely, the condition is that for all spherical vibrations, for all these maps, call it P and F, what has to happen? Well, if I take E, I'm calling it F. F will live in here if F plus F of the identity Y to Y maps as an equivalence via P upper star plus the diagonal lower star to F of Y crossover X Y projecting down to Y. So this is an unbased version of the Tom isomorphism. Let me. I don't know. I don't want to explain the motivation behind that right at the moment. But so in the case of C is pre-sheaves on the infinity category orb, and F is just the sphere bundles, the ones which, when you evaluate them on an orbit, become a actual sphere bundle in spaces, then you can compare the F excisive theories here to Schwede's global homotopy theory, and it turns out that it's not an equivalence. Global stable homotopy theory. The obstruction to it being an equivalence is that, for example, if I have a theory and I look at it on BG to the point, so that I'm thinking of that as the homology, the space BG, that will map to the homology of the stack BG. And this is only going to be represented by one of Schwede's global spectra if this map is an equivalence. In other words, if homologically the theory cannot tell the difference between the space and the stack. Really, the thing is, the real condition, let me just say what it is. For any map X to Y, you can approximate it by representables over X. And that needs to be equivalent to the actual value on Y to X to be one of Schwede's things. Which now I want to show you isn't satisfied in practice by some examples, notably elliptic cohomology. So so let me just briefly remark that
we were saying C into Bivariant theories with the isomorphism.
Yeah.
Is not an equivalence, and the obstruction is given by.
Yeah.
By the fact that not every object in the Bivariant theory has this property.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So. Okay, let me skip this one theorem. So let me say that one of the reasons for this formalism is algebraically, there's lots. I should really say geometrically. I'm going to get myself trouble otherwise. There's lots of bivariant theories. So, for example, if I have any ringed infinity topos, XO, I can say that a map Y to X is spherical with respect to the structure sheaf O. If the map from OX to F lower star OY has invertible to bull fiber as an OX module. Okay, so equipping this now the structure sheaf is controlling what the spherical vibrations are. And so you can check that there's a natural bivariant theory on here, which is I call gamma. Gamma y to x, well, that's the global sections of a certain OX module, which is, let me call this map, P, the lower shriek push forward of OY, which normally you're not allowed to do, but I'm working on, I'm thinking of this as sort of a big site, and I'm not looking at quasi-coherent modules or anything, so this is just the extension by zero. So the, you can check that this is affixive for the spherical maps, well, the O spherical maps. And so if P is, for example, the identity, then this is just the sheaf cohomology. But if X is, for example, a point, then it's like the sheaf homology, which is generally quite difficult to compute because it won't be quasi-coherent. So in fact, another fact then is that if I have a morphism, a geometric morphism, let me call this phi upper star. So it's a left exact, left adjoint functor of infinity topoi. And this sends, this preserves a class of spherical vibrations. Then and let's say the target one has a structure sheaf, then you can define, you can pull back gamma to bivariant, excisive bivariant theory. We say F excisive theory on this by defining it to be the value on the push for, well, okay, I guess that's the pullback actually, but because I'm writing my geometric morphism in the wrong direction. Okay, and this is how elliptic cohomology is, for example, created. It's by pulling back the from the infinity topos where a certain derived elliptic curve lives. So to do this, I would want to take X prime here to be pre-sheaves on orb, and I would want to get a morphism to, well, I'm going to use the topos, the ring topos XO, which is Etal sheaves over M, which is the moduli stack, say Lurie's moduli stack of oriented derived elliptic curves. So let me skip over the exact meaning of that statement for the time being, and probably, since I only have 10 minutes left, just skip over it entirely. But you could, I would need to construct, in order to have a bivariant theory here, I would need to construct a left exact colimit preserving functor, and it would need to send sphere bundles here to O spherical maps here. So how would I do that? Well, first, let's first ask about constructing the functor. So if I look at the inclusion I from the orbits which are abelian into all orbits, this is full, then I get a whole bunch of geometric morphisms relating these. So I can restrict, which is I upper star, and that's left exact because it, well, it has two adjoints. And this thing happens to classify, this is the classifying, you can check, it's the classifying infinity topos for oriented abelian group objects. Which I guess I should say really quickly what that is. Does anyone want me to say what that is or not? Okay, so so because this particular, the universal elliptic curve C over M happens to be an oriented abelian group object, you get a canonical geometric morphism here, and this composite is the elliptic cohomology functor. So it's induced by formally extending on a non-abelian orbit, it's induced by formally extending through its abelian maps from abelian orbits. And well, so in this case, so I'm pulling back the theory gamma here to that. So in other words, the elliptic cohomology of a map of stacks from x to y is gamma of, let me just write this like C upper star, gamma C upper star y to C upper star x. Now, that doesn't tell you much in practice. Let me just say what it is in particular cases. So if I look at the classifying stack of the circle going to the classifying stack of the circle, this ends up being the global sections of O of C, where C is the universal elliptic curve. If I looked at point to point, I would get the global sections of O of M, which is also known as capital TMF. And this, by a calculation of myself, Thomas Nikolaus, and Leonard Meyer, is actually equivalent as a TMF module to TMF plus a suspension of TMF. That's a sort of global statement of serduality here, but it actually works better than you might naively expect. And from this calculation alone, you can already see that elliptic homology is not going to of say the stack B of the circle is not going to agree with that of the space CP infinity, and hence will not be represented by a global spectrum in the sense of Schwede. So let me just remark, we want the sort of homological, I don't know what to call it, co-completion map. So homologically, the elliptic cohomology of the space BT living over the point. That's the elliptic homology of the space. This is, of course, CP infinity, for those of you who don't know, although probably everyone does, to the stack BT to point. This is the elliptic homology of the actual stack. Well, this is calculated. This is going to be the global sections of, let's just say, the OM module CP infinity tensor OM, which is just the TMF homology of CP infinity, which is big. In particular, it's not finitely generated. Whereas this, on the other hand, using this Serre duality result, this ends up being the global sections of the dual of, let me call this map P. Sorry. Yeah, the dual, because this ends up being dualizable, of P lower star OC, we calculated what that was. This is so the dual as an OM module of OM plus a suspension of OM. Actually, I should have said that even that holds. That's a slightly stronger version of that calculation over there, which ends up being now TMF plus a desuspension of TMF. And there's some map here, which if you dualize as TMF modules, gives you the completion, the T-Siegel completion map. But in particular, it's not an equivalence. So somehow, right, so in order to encapsulate this rich geometry of elliptic homology, we need this sophisticated notion of stabilization of the stable homotopy theory of stacks that I just described. Okay, I'll stop there.
Of this category of global spectra that is not as a Weierian.
Yeah, this Schwede is writing a book on the subject, and he just uses orthogonal spectra.
Yours is bigger than Schwede's.
Yes.
So, I mean, is there anything equivalent to yours that is
has a model?
Or
appears in the literature.
Or is am I going to have to learn what an excisive functor?
No, I just
is to describe.
Oh. No. I mean that's only one way of there are multiple ways of describing it. But it's a lot of information, but it probably, if you can exhibit it as such, then it makes it more easy to do calculations. But yeah, there are other ways of phrasing it.
Other questions? Yeah, one. You said at some point that the bivariant axis is theories of normal space is
yeah.
Just a spectra.
Yeah.
Is there like a motivic analog?
Yeah, you can do this motivically, where you take the normal sphere bundles, which are like the simplicial spheres, and add in also the multiplicative group.
Do you end up with SH?
Yes, you end up with SH. And the reason is because, I mean, one reason is because there, any any, you know, let's say, any invertible thing is actually pulled back from, is a bundle of motivic spheres over the base. It can be pulled back from the point. I mean, locally on in the topology, pulled back from the point.
Sort of perspective give you any better control over operations or cooperations?
Oh, right. Well, so that's the part that is in progress. So I have no idea yet.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you again.